good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and you don't need to live in Minnesota to call them.
Right. But it would be nice if you live in Minnesota. No, mm-hmm. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, call them.
Hey,
yeah.
This is a show. We're a magazine show, basically. We have news. We have guests from all over Turtle Island. And Turtle Island, for you wonk sheiks out there, it's a kind of, you know, the whole continent here we call Turtle Island. Mm-hmm. And that was before satellites. We could tell that the North America could look like a turtle.
Yeah, no, that's including Canada, the United States, and Mexico.
Mexico. Hey, so a couple things. I want to just to give a shout out to the owner of AM950 for really thinking forward and about, you know, the Blue State Ball's canceled.
It was going to be this Saturday, but he canceled it just because of all the unrest that's happening.
Very respectful.
Yeah, very respectful. So we'll give a shout out to Chad for doing that. He's very empathetic and he has a lot of compassion. So we really look up to him that way. Yeah.
It's really good.
It's really something. Yeah.
Hey, so like I said in the beginning of the show, my name's Robert Pilot and my native name, my real name is Wakunja Hade, which means destined thunder. And we do a lot of different things here. We have a sacred animal segment, but we always lead off with the news and news all over Turtle Island. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad and other times it's indifferent. But we have Ogama here with the news. And welcome, Ogama and Pinigigi, for being on.
Hi, Anim Bujou, everybody. This is Ogama Ganuikwe with Native Roots Radio, bringing you some news, as always, kind of from the stop line three front lines. Tomorrow, Wednesday, April 14th, from 3 to 4 p.m., there's going to be an online event, The People versus Liberty Mutual, Voices from the Frontline. You can sign up for that event online at Rainforest Action Network. It is on April 14th, the day of the Liberty Mutual annual policyholder meeting, and they are doing a digital rally to tell them to stop ensuring fossil fuel expansion. On Saturday, on Thursday, on Earth Day, Native Roots Radio is partnered with Honor the Earth, and we will be doing a live music and speaker event. It's going to be Earth Day, Honor the Earth style. That's going to be a really exciting event. We've got some really good speakers and musicians lined up for that. And then the Saturday after Earth Day, April 24th, there's going to be an in-person action event in Duluth at Gitche'ode Aking Lake Place Park. It's going to start at all apologies. I don't have the time for that one, but you can definitely look up the event. Again, it's on Saturday, April 24th. Ah, there it is. It's at 1 p.m. on Saturday, April 24th, meeting at Lake Place Park in Duluth. Bring art and signs if you're able. Remember to wear a mask. In other news in Minnesota, the Environmental Protection Agency, or the EPA, has told the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency that it is partially disapproving the most recent Clean Water Act impaired waters list. The reason for that is that impaired waters list does not include any rivers or lakes that are loaded with sulfate. So what happens with sulfates is that they kill off wild rice beds over time. The impaired waters list is prepared every 2 years and requires the state to develop plans to clean up any waters listed. Mining interests have been fighting the MPCA, MPCA, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, when they have tried to enforce the limit of 10 parts per million of sulfate in wild rice waters. The Minnesota legislature passed several laws requiring the agency to just instead study the standard and refrain from enforcing it. And now the federal EPA is telling the state that those laws violate the Clean Water Act and they need to redo them. So a 30-day public comment period is going to follow the release of the EPA list on April 25th, and the Minnesota DNR and tribal nations have prepared list of wild rice waters. In news of the murder of Dante Wright on Sunday, Kim Potter, who is a 26-year veteran of the Brooklyn Center Police Force, resigned today after being identified as the officer who fatally shot Dante Wright on Sunday. Her resignation was immediately followed by that of the police chief, Tim Gannon. The fatal shooting happened in Washington County, Minnesota, where the district attorney plans to file charges against the now former officer Potter, who opened fire claiming she thought her gun was a taser. The specific charges Potter would face are unclear, but legal experts are saying that she could be facing second-degree manslaughter charges. The Attorney General Keith Ellison of Minnesota, who is also leading the prosecution of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, said that Wright's death will not be swept under the rug. Demonstrators began to gather shortly after the shooting and have continued. There is another... what's the word I'm looking for, Robert? There's another...
event or prayer event they had yesterday?
No, a curfew. There's another curfew.
there is one tonight at 10 o'clock. Yeah, we got the.
Yes, there's a curfew tonight at 10 o'clock throughout most of Minneapolis. It was 7 p.m. yesterday.
You're too young for that to happen. That happens to Robert and I all the time.
Derailed my train of thought there. So the Minnesota State Patrol Colonel Matt Langer said at a news conference today as well that about 40 people were arrested on Monday night at the Brooklyn Center protest. And in Minneapolis, there were about 13 arrests made. And the death of Dante Wright also prompted protests in other U.S. cities, including in Portland, where I believe they designated that one into a riot when people started throwing rocks at police cars. So things are... turning into definitely a lot of demonstration about our outrage about the death of another black man at the hands of a police officer. So, solidarity and peace to everybody who's in the streets right now in Minneapolis and elsewhere. That's my piece on that. In Wisconsin, they are on track to see their worst fire season in more than 5 years. They've got hundreds of unseasonal blazes that prompted the governor to declare a state of emergency on April 5th. So basically, they've lost as much acreage to wildfires in the last 4 months than they did in all of 2020. So, send some prayers over to our friends in Wisconsin. I know we're on live in Madison right now, so hang in there, everybody. The DNR said that the below average precipitation coupled with the snowpack that melted early meant fire season had arrived about 2 weeks early. So hang in there, everybody in Wisconsin. Yeah. And then news on the DAPL, Dakota Access Pipeline, lawyers are urging a federal appeals court to reconsider the recent ruling. The lawyers for Energy Transfer LP on Monday petitioned for a rehearing before all active judges on the U.S. Court of Appeals for District of Columbia Circuit, asking them to toss the previous three-judge panel January decision that said a critical easement violated the National Environmental Policy Act. The Biden administration said that it will not shut down Dakota Access for now while the environmental review is going on. So that was a big disappointment that happened late last week. The Dakota Access Pipeline is also facing separate but related proceedings in district court with the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and other opponents, and have asked the federal judge to issue a shutdown order. According to Bloomberg News, though, the D.C. Circuit rarely grants rehearing.
Wow, Pinigigi. Hey, you know, we talk a lot about Line 3 here and Ogama and Wendy. And we're going to have Nancy Bolio talking about Line 3 later in the show up in the occupied north. But we're going to up next, we're having Ethan Wright, who's in Michigan. And we're going to talk about Line 5 and what's happening there, because Nathan Wright, yes, we're going to talk to him next. And we're going to talk to him about what's happening up in the deep north in Michigan there, Wendy, and we're going to really get some inside information. And there's a controversial video out, too, we'd really want to talk about. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You could call them at 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Awesome. Hey, we got a guest on from Michigan.
Awesome.
Nathan Wright, and we're going to talk a little bit about Line 3, and because we've always... Line five, right? Thank you, Wendy. Wendy sees I'm off a half a click here and is helping me out.
Half a click.
Oh, geez.
Whoever said a half a click?
Easy now. But we have Nathan, not Ethan.
We have Nathan,
and we also are talking about Line 5. And welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
Good to be here. Thank you for having us.
Awesome. So, hey, let's talk about the pipeline going through there. Enbridge obviously is doing a pipeline. And then there's a controversial video that we just looked at, Wendy and I, that I'd really like to get your insight about. But welcome, Nathan.
Thank you. I appreciate being invited here. And yes, I'm with Mackinac O'Day, and we're in northern Michigan, and we're trying to do everything we can to get the Line 5 pipeline out, as well as the tunnel they plan on building.
Where are they building this tunnel? Don't tell me it's underneath water.
Well, yes, unfortunately it is. It's over the strait, so where the iconic Mackinac Bridge is, it literally runs parallel. So you got the bridge here and the pipeline here, and it runs underneath. It's been there for over 65 years now, and it's at that moment where it starts deteriorating and breaking apart, and we're concerned about that happening. Just like the Enbridge oil spill that happened in Kalamazoo, that was the largest oil spill in the United States. We don't want the same thing happening to the world's largest great freshwater source, which is the Great Lakes.
Right, exactly. So is there a group you're associated with, or like, you know, we do, we have Minnesota MN350 here that really supports our actions. We have Honor the Earth. Who's doing the talking for people that are speechless there? I mean, what groups are up there and how can we support you?
Well, we have a couple groups. I don't know if I'll be able to name them all, but basically we have the Mackinac O'Day, which is a group I belong to. We have some larger mainstream groups like Oil and Water Don't Mix. Just a lot of different grassroots groups that get together. Flow of the Water, I believe, is another one. I might not be saying the whole thing correctly. But just different groups who are working together. Indigenous-wise, we have one that was called Anishinaabeg Line 5. I don't know if they're still going. I think they might be. And then we have a bunch of websites that are out there that kind of raise awareness. So it is a collective. We have Title Track out of Traverse City helps out as well. And then just a lot of grassroots people. We don't seem to have as large of a group as you guys have over there working on Line 3, but we are definitely doing whatever we can to bring awareness and get people involved. We have a lot of people that support us from afar.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Nathan, I have a question for you. What is the general consensus of the general population about Line 5 in Michigan? What are the people saying about it?
Well, as far as for it or against it?
Yeah.
I would say a majority are against it. But see, the thing that Enbridge likes to do is they like to target rural areas that are rural cities that have poor, you know, situations going on, poverty, stuff like that. So those are the cities they go to first to gain their support. They usually give money to something that's basically bribery, and for some reason it's legal. And they get people to buy into them.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Sorry.
Yeah, it sounds familiar, Wendy said. One of the things I was going to ask you, too, is that I know here in the last at least 5 years since Standing Rock, we've had Enbridge commercials running up in the occupied north and the deep north of Minnesota, and basically talking about rainbows and butterflies and how great of people Enbridge are and how this is a replacement. And as we all know, this is not a replacement. This is another pipeline because they don't plan on pulling out the old one. It's going through Mississippi twice in the headwaters and the beautiful headwaters where you can drink the water. So what kind of propaganda do you see? I mean, they're hooked up with everyone included, including like our high school tournaments or our Minnesota high school tournaments are sponsored by Enbridge. It's just sickening.
Yeah, they're doing something similar, a lot of similar things, it sounds like, compared to you guys. You see signs up there, like right now they're saying it creates jobs. They're doing a campaign here in Michigan. I think they spent, $900,000 just on TV ads alone in February. And so they're doing all kinds of promotion that this is going to create jobs. They were telling elders in order to put their signs in front of their house that says we support Line 5. They were telling elders that if we get rid of Line 5, your oil and gas prices are going to go up. We've heard reports of this from people they actually told. Just basically anything. And then they're also trying to put a twist on, like, we're being environmental sustainable. We want to protect the pipeline and with a tunnel. But these guys, and they're talking about us, the protectors, these right. guys don't want us to do that. They're making us look like the bad guys. So they're flipping it any way they can. Mm-hmm. And, of course, with the propaganda cultural video they just put out there, that is even adding more to the flip because they're bringing indigenous people in to make it appear that they have the support of indigenous people. And right. I think one of the reasons why they're so concerned with that, why they want the support of indigenous people, is because our treaty rights are probably the loophole that's ultimately going to prevent them from going. And I think Enbridge is fully aware of that. Otherwise, why would they hire consultant groups that are indigenous owned and put a lot of money into them to create these propaganda videos, such as the peacemaking video that they put out? They wouldn't do that unless they knew there was something to it.
Well, all I have to say to that is Custard had scouts. So, I mean, you had Indian scouts.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the way a lot of us feel. There was an article just put out over the weekend that explained a lot of different leaders that were throughout Michigan, tribal leaders who were really upset with this because, you know, here they are taking our potentially going to pollute, ultimately, I should say, are going to pollute our Great right. Lakes. And now they're taking our culture and trying to use it against us and use it also to create propaganda.
Well, this is a foreign country business too, Wendy and
right.
Nathan. And this is a thing that people don't understand. This is the money's going to, or the tar sands are going to China. They're not staying here. And the jobs are leaving too. We have up here in the deep north, and Winona the Duke likes to call it the deep north and the occupied north in Minnesota, that we have 5,000 people and 80% of them, or up to 80% of them, are from other states. There's not jobs in Minnesota. And they're going to be like 20 jobs afterwards watching for leaks after that.
Right. And as you know, Line 5 goes from Canada back into Canada. Not that, you know, we love our Canadian brothers and sisters that are up there, but they understand our position. And only less than 5%, you know, you hear different numbers, but somewhere between 3 to 5% of that actually goes into the United States. And I think a majority of that is propane. So even if that pipeline was gone, there'll be a minimal change on anyone's, fuel oil prices, especially in the UP. We're talking extremely minimal, but they try to pretend everything's going to skyrocket. They make it sound like the whole entire United States, all of our gas prices are going to go up. They'll do anything. They lie. They lie all the time, and they've been caught on it many times.
Well, we're looking for a just economy, and we're looking for solar. We're looking for wind. We're trying to do a just transition here in Minnesota and really talk to our politicians and vet them out. Because a lot of them, you know, come for our Indian vote and then they forget about us. And we're not standing for that anymore up here in Minnesota. And I know there's a lot of talk about that now because certain groups have promoted politicians and now they're nowhere to hear. Hey, we have like a 2.5 minutes left. And I want you to explain to our listening and viewership here on YouTube and Facebook about that video, that this Peacemaker video, Peacemaker, Peacemaker, Peacemaker video. I'm just wow. Okay.
So this video was produced by a consultant company called Seventh Legacy out of Traverse City. The guy that runs it, Desmond, used to be a water protector, and he switched on us. And he started working for Enbridge, and a lot of people did not like that or appreciate it. He was considered a traitor at that time. Mm-hmm. So flash forward, he's been doing this for, maybe 2 years now. We're aware that he's doing anything he can to work with Enbridge and coming up with these different ideals, but Enbridge is also pushing him to get these ideals. So they came up with this Peacemaker video, which is basically a video. Some cultural people that were from this area where I'm in Petoskey, Michigan. One of them did the video, and then it was his daughter that did the other part of the video. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about how we traditionally did peacemaking. And they're making it sound like Enbridge is saying to the tribes, hey, traditionally your people sat down with someone like us, and we made peace together. And they're using our culture and traditions, and they're talking about this peacemaking process, and they're showing the pipe, they're displaying the pipe. Oh. And it was just disgusting to watch. And if you didn't know the history behind why that video was created, you would kind of be like maybe somewhat interested, like, oh, this is interesting.
Right.
But the reason it was created was to manipulate and cause propaganda and make people believe that tribes are involved and put tribes on a guilt trip, which, of course, wasn't going to work because everyone knows good and well what this video was for. To try to make it sound like we need to sit down and have peace. They're basically making it sound like we need to sit in a circle in a lodge and smoke a pipe and come up with a decision. It was really out there. And we were very upset about it. And there's a couple articles that have been written about it. If you Google Enbridge, Record Eagle out of Traverse City, you should find an article that says tribal leaders denounce Enbridge for manipulative video about indigenous peacemaking. And that really explains the perspective of everybody in Michigan. And then visit Mackinac O'Day on Facebook, which means Heart of the Turtle.
Perfect. Hey, we want to have you on again, Nathan. Thank you so much, Pini Gigi, for being on. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. And up next, Nancy Bolio.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition and MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yeah. Whoops, sorry. Hey, we have Nancy Bolio on of Bemidji 350, also Rise, and also former co-host of Rock the Vote Native Style, and we... going to have a couple updates here, but that was awesome to have Nathan on, Wendy.
Mm-hmm. It really was a different perspective in a different state with the same problem.
Yeah, Line 5, Enbridge, mm-hmm. Same kind of propaganda mm-hmm. and everything. So we're going to have him on again, too, because that whole video that we watched mm-hmm. was just, we don't take pictures and video of our sacred pipe.
Yeah.
Period. Mm-hmm. Period. So that was really disheartening.
But yeah, you could go on Enbridge's website and look at that video. It's called Peacemaker.
Yeah.
And you could watch it, and it's...
Don't bother. Exactly. Hey, so we have Nancy Bolio, Bemidji 350. Welcome, Nancy. How's it going?
It is going. And Chimiigwech for having me here once again. And... you know, from here in northern Minnesota, we would like to extend our condolences to the Donna Brable Allard family and the Standing Rock community, and just wanted to, let our audience know how grateful we were to have LaDonna, in this movement and guide the way for us, because, that's where I was awoke, and it was in Standing Rock, and brought a small piece of that fire home, and here we are, in Minnesota fighting Line 3, and sounds very similar to Line 5, what I was just listening to earlier in the show. And, Robert, you brought up a good point about you know, how we want to elect officials that represent, and that's why we work hard and rock the vote. That's why we work hard on endorsements and things like that, because we do have valid concerns, and we're looking for candidates that align with our values, understand our concerns, and want to amplify those by using their political platforms. And so we worked hard, Robert, and then, you know, it kind of seems like they've kind of fallen to the wayside now and stepped in, back into their comfort zones, and we can't have that, Robert. So, you know, Sunday, the Native People's Caucus of the Minnesota DFL had their elections and a meeting. And so what I did was I brought up the fact, what good is our work, and that includes our endorsements, if we don't continue on with these relationships with these endorsements after they win their campaigns. So through a very good dialogue and an awesome conversation, we decided that, well, somebody made a motion to start a legislative committee. It got seconded, and then we went into a vote. And, well, now at the Minnesota, or at the Native People's Caucus of the Minnesota DFL, we have now, as of Sunday, formed a legislative committee so we can further those endorsement relationships after they win their election. So that way, the work that we, you know, continue to keep doing in a good way is amplified by the political figures that reached out for our endorsements because our, you know, our values aligned. And so it was always, you know, a good conversation to have that. So I'm really excited to see where that goes.
I'm excited too, Nancy. And I know we talked about this recently. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to stay vigilant about, you know, talking to them too. It's a two-way street. So that's really exciting to hear what the Minnesota Native Caucus is doing.
Right. And we hope to have that. Well, we kind of did, you know, started having that conversation at Minnesota 350, but, you know, it's going to take a lot more dialogue than where we're at now. But, you know, like I said during our work, Rock the Vote Native style, that our work doesn't end on November 3rd. It's just beginning, Robert. And, you know, that's true. We have work to do, and until we, you know, hold their feet to the fire, again, we're just a mere vote, and that has to change, Robert, and I say that in a good way. So, yeah. So, anyways, I'd also like to share that we had some people from out of state and a couple local water protectors from Minnesota here take action last Friday at the Bemidji Enbridge office, and they did a lockdown. And the 11 got arrested and spent a few nights in jail, and they're being charged with trespassing in private property and obstructing the legal process. And, you know, there might not have been any locals involved in this, but, Robert, you know, when people, you know, are passionate about the things that concern them the most, we can't always control the good vibes that, you know, make them do what they do. And, you know, so I commend them for doing what they did, and I appreciate what they did, because we have to remember the water flows. So the work might be done here, but it flows, and it flows, and it flows. So those people had every right to protect that water, just as any local person did, you know. So So they are out of jail now. And another thing I really, really want to focus on is we have this scenario planning process here. It's a project funded by Lincoln, and it's supported by Minnesota 350. And our intention is to create healthy relationships built around treaty obligations. And to make this happen, we created a roundtable discussion to give space for dialogue. And the scenario planning process will progress us forward towards a future we can imagine together. So our end goal is to develop a sustainable and equitable community we all can thrive in for generations to come. So we invited our city council, our commissioners, tribal leaders, treaty keepers, and all these good people for the conversation on how we can move towards change in a good way and with good intentions in mind, and putting these intentions into good practice. So we're having our second scenario planning this week, and so I look forward to this opportunity to learn, build understanding, and be good neighbors and good stewards of Mother Earth as the treaties intended us to be. So, again, you know, that's where we can, as a local, you know, because, you know, a lot of times we think that our problems are on a national level, but in order to see tangible changes, we have to, you know, think local and get more involved with our city council and our commissioners to make change that is good for all of us. So I think moving this project forward, I feel good things coming, and I want to give a big shout out to the BSU sustainability program too for doing similar work that's really, really thorough about what those changes might look like. So a big shout out to them. And I also want to give a shout out to Silas Nealon and Angel Stevens of White Earth, because, you know, they took that trip out to D.C. to urge the Biden administration to shut down the Dakota Access Pipeline, Line 3, and, of course, we should shut down Line 5, too. So we know that President Biden's refusal to shut down a Dakota Access Pipeline during a court-ordered environmental review, that was a betrayal of his campaign promises. It, you know, remember the executive order, the government-to-government, on behalf of Walz and the Biden administration, to ignore our plea for clean water and for an environmental impact study is not a good way to start off that, you know, relationship. So what we do know is that the U.S. District Court Judge James Boasberg, who ordered the environmental impact study last year, held a hearing last Friday so the Army Corps of Engineers could provide an update on whether the Biden administration planned to follow the pipeline known as DAPL to continue operating without a federal permit. So after an attorney spoke and shared that the Army Corps of Engineers would not shut down the pipeline at this time, but is essentially in a continuous process of evaluating, the judge granted a 10-day continuance, but also he's expected to decide whether or not to shut down the Dakota Access Pipeline by April 19th. So we got some praying to do. We got to pray that this judge does the right thing.
Hey, Nancy, before we get any further, we only got like a minute or so left in our segment. I just want to wish you a happy birthday, and Wendy and I are going to sing to you happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Nancy.
Well, thank you, even though it's a day late, but that's how us natives roll, right, Robert?
Well, you weren't on yesterday. Oh.
Yeah, but I still, you're right. I'm going to celebrate for the rest of the week. I did have a good birthday yesterday, and I want to say chi-mi-gwich to all the people that wish me happy birthday, and I look forward for the next year and the year after that, and just keep going until we shut all these pipelines down, because we want a green and clean future, Robert, for seven generations, right?
Exactly. Hey, I just want to say happy birthday and Pini Gigi for all you do. And let's keep these politicians' feet to the fire. And thank you so much for being on, Nancy.
Well, thanks for having me again, and good night.
Good night. Wow, that's awesome. And that was, you know, Indian time, Wendy. You've been around that a lot.
Yeah, I have. It's always a little bit, you know,
late, right?
Yeah, it's kind of relaxed and a little slower. So, yeah, totally.
Exactly. So, wow, that was Nancy Bolio, Bemidji 350, giving us an update. And I think what's really important, what she talked about, is you know, keeping the politicians abreast of what's going on and making sure that they're still supporting us, because I know we don't want to throw out endorsements like chiclets, but sometimes that happens, and, you know, we don't get what we put into it.
Yeah, we need to keep electing officials that, you know, have our interests at heart and what we care about.
Right.
Not the corporations. Or don't endorse them. Exactly.
But and, well, or keep silent, too, Wen. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. I think we, you know, as an organization that I was with endorsed quite a few politicians, and we don't hear them speaking up lately.
Yeah. Right. And we need to keep our politicians accountable. And Nancy talks about this all the time. If they say one thing and then they're elected, they need to hold up to what they said originally.
Right. We're going to end this, but I just want to say this, Wen, is that you know, you talk to people during election, they say, oh, they just want our vote and things like that. And that's what's coming to fruition right now. So we have to really kind of fight back. So, hey,
we're getting our alerts here on our phone.
10 o'clock. We'll be right back.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
We are the Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back. The Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Oh, I was going to say Wakunja Hadi and Robert Pilot mixed together.
Yeah.
I'm a little tired.
I know. A little tight. You know, I think it's the weather. The weather.
I'm blaming
just
it
like
on the weather.
And snowing not and 30 degrees. It's ridiculous. Feels like 27. this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Yeah, I've been listening better to the Howling for Wolves commercial, so I've been practicing my howl.
That's awesome. Hey, I just want to give
realistic.
When just people are coming in and out of the car, I just want to give them a quick shout out that the station did the right thing and we're not having the Blue State Ball.
Yep,
so,
this Saturday it's canceled just because of everything that's going on in our area. So.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. This show is dedicated for those who give back and fight back for our people and our beings. We are the resistance. We are awake. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many, many, many years. Tell us your name, Wendy.
My name is Hanajihihani, and that means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega, Curtis. So as always, Curtis, thank you very much.
We miss you, Curtis.
I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues and policy at the local and state level. And I got an article here sent to me by Ogama and by James Robert.
They're the same person. You just don't know that.
No,
I'm just kidding.
It is James Robert. He, right. I just didn't want to say, I didn't want to say his last name, but I guess I could. I don't think he cares. But since I got this article from both of them, I think it's pretty important. So this was an article by The Guardian, and it was dated on April 9th, which was Friday, 2021. It was written by Mike Jordan. Rat poison has been found in the bodies of an estimated 80% of American eagles, according to a new study from the University of Georgia. By examining the carcasses of golden and bald eagles found between 2014 and 2018, scientists were able to determine that the majority of them had exposure to poison. That included 96 of the 116 bald eagles studied and 13 of the 17 golden eagles. The poison discovered was an anticoagulant rodenticide, which is banned in the U.S. as, I'm sorry, it's not banned, it's branded in the U.S. as Decon or Havoc, H-A-V-O-K, H-O-V-O-C. Consumption of rats, which are the major source of food for eagles, is believed by research to be responsible for the inherent ingestion of the rat poison. According to Cornell University Wildlife Health Lab, blood-thinning anticoagulant rodenticides work by interfering with vitamin K activation, which is critical in the production of blood clotting in the liver. If ingested in significant amounts, it can result in spontaneous bleeding, which can be internal or external and can appear in widespread bruising, bloody urine or feces, and in other ways. In some cases, death from cardiovascular shock can occur. Mark Reuter, assistant professor at the College of Veterinary Medicine's Southeastern Cooperative Wildlife Disease Study at UGA, told CNN that the rat poison could linger for years in birds' bodies. Quote, although the exact pathway of exposure remains unclear, Reuter told CNN, eagles are likely exposed through their predatory and scavenging activities. Scott Edwards, a director of graduate studies and zoology professor at Harvard University, called the use of rat poison to kill rodents unnecessary and told CNN the poison was responsible for killing some of our most majestic bird species.
Wow.
Yeah.
Decon. I mean, that
Decon
was...
Decon and Havoc, H-O-V-O-C, are two of the rodenticides that are really used.
And there was a bug
things.
Spray when we were kids called Decon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, but this is, if you see, and I see them in a couple of houses around our house too, which kind of upsets me because we live so close to the river and right. we have so many birds of prey here. We see eagles all the time. Yep. We see hawks.
Blackbirds.
And the black crows yep. too. What happens is, you know, you buy one of these black, there's a black box, it's got a hole in it. And what people do is what inside it is the rodenticide, which is the anticoagulant, which is the blood thinner.
Yeah.
And people will put like peanut butter and treats outside it to kind of lure the animal inside it. But what happens is other animals could also be attracted to that peanut butter. I know like if our dog Wanda was out and she smelled that peanut butter, she would be lured to go and...
Emma would have.
Yeah, our little dog Emma, she would have. She loved peanut butter. But yes, it can definitely, go and affect non-targeted animals. Edwards also says, humans need to understand that when those compounds get into the environment, they cause horrible damage to many species, including our national symbol, the bald eagle. The slowdown of excessive hunting and insecticide poisoning, which caused a drastic reduction in eagles' population in the 1960s, helped their numbers quadruple between 2009 and 2019 to more than 300,000 current in the U.S., removing birds from the endangered species list. So the repopulation was helped by the increased federal regulation by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, along with state and municipality protection, such as the Eagle Act, the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, and the Lacey Act. And not only birds of prey get into these rodenticides. So the mouse goes in there, right? The mouse comes out. The mouse starts or the rodent starts to bleed internally and the animal starts moving around really, really slowly so that now they're easy prey,
yeah.
right? They cross the street, they get hit by a car. Then we see the black crows coming down, right, and eating the roadkill, which is infected by this anticoagulant, and then right. the animal gets it. Owls, crows, coyotes, foxes, any of these animals.
Raccoons,
yes, that's on the list also. Even snakes. Squirrels. What's that?
Snakes.
I said snakes.
Yeah, I mean, any animal that will go after that other animal can do it. So what do we do? So I was reading, what can we do about this? I think we need to bring more awareness of this.
Yeah.
We need to talk to our neighbors or send them a note in the mail and ask them to use other more humane ways of getting rid of mice if they have a pest control problem in their house. There's also... companies that use animal kind standards, and animal kind is one word, capital A, capital K, animal kind standards, and that you need to call, right, and make sure the company that you're using to help you get rid of your rodents or your animal problem to use animal kind standards. And we need to get in touch with our municipality people in our community and ask what they're doing to decrease the use of rodent poison in our area so that we can keep our animals safe. So I'm going to look into that because I've never done that before. I mean, who is our municipality? Is that our city council?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to get in touch with my city councilman and talk to them about this.
I know you will. Peeny Gigi for speaking
on... You know
on,
I will, absolutely.
Peeny Gigi for speaking on behalf of our relatives
yeah,
with
my
four
pleasure.
Legs, wings, animals' tails, and fins, Wendy.
Absolutely.
Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. We are all on trial. From Chief Plentycoops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to mask up, resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I've been your host, Robert Pilot, Pini Geed and Nancy Bolio, and also our guest from Michigan. Let me just pull
Nathan Wright.
I just wanted to see if you remembered. And we are still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Stop line three.